program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, we have coming up this week a symposium on the topic of grief. It's called Grief and Loss, and if folks would like to find out more about that, it's hopefortheheart.org/events, Wednesday night, June 16th. And we think that we have an idea of what grief is, and this program is no stranger to that topic. Hmm. We've certainly covered it. You've covered it well over years. But what would be some misconceptions or things that people don't really understand about grief?
To explain what grief really is first, because that helps. It is a natural pain. It's a natural emotion of sorrow, but it's caused by either the loss or impending loss. That would be one thing I want to focus on. It doesn't mean that something has already taken place. When I heard that my mother had terminal cancer, liver cancer, I thought, no. It's like, oh, no. I mean, yes, I have loved caring for her for different things, just being at the hospital a number of times when she'd have this hernia and that hernia, just, you know, unbelievable number. But I loved doing the caregiving. but I didn't, it's the impending loss. And I remember one time I was having a board meeting, and we just completed it, and I stepped away, and this one was at my home, and stepping away, and all of a sudden, I had this wave of grief and sorrow, it is very unusual for me to have tears. It's only because my dad said tears were a sign of mental illness. I didn't believe that, but I could not show tears. And so if you shut yourself off for 30 years, almost 30, 29, it's like, it's so natural to find a different way to deal with the pain you have. But my point is, many people think, well, the grief will come afterwards. My grief, my major grief, did not come after my mom died. It was the impending loss. And now that surprised me. Both surprised me. I just didn't realize it would be just the knowing that there was going to be this huge loss. And it surprised me that I did not grieve like I thought I would afterwards. Actually, the Bible even says that we who are authentic Christians, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. And all these scriptures became very, very real to me during that time. I think part of it was I just felt so responsible for years. Like, I just felt responsible for my mom because we had a very dysfunctional family. And so candidly, I have a sister who thought I didn't care much about her, and she's just learning, just now learning. She didn't remember that she was in the hospital for a number of months, like 4 months, and it was very serious. It was like tuberculosis, and I mean, I would go up, I would reach. She had no knowledge, and all of a sudden, she's been sensitized within the last few days of all the things that I did. Now, what I'm saying is, there are times when people can be in pain and all kinds of things, and they have no idea when we are reaching out. But the issue is, Grief is a process. And what I'd like to do is tomorrow night, I'm going to explain there are certain, it's called grief work. It's healthy grief work. Things to do in order to have the right kind of grief. In other words, we will have grief. All of us are going to hurt. We'll have a loss that would be very significant. It could be for one person, they love their job, they've invested years in it, and all of a sudden, they're without this job. And if it's not for the pandemic and people being impacted severely that way, it's that, but there are times when it doesn't require any pandemic. It's just the surprise and the shock of that which is so endearing or so meaningful being gone. It can be a person. Meaning that which is lost could be a person, it could be a position, it can be a possession, it could be a plan that you had for the longest time and you just assumed it would take place. So my point is, the Bible says there is a time to grieve, so it is right to have grief. There's a time for mourning, meaning not daytime mourning, but that deeper kind of process of working through painful sorrow. That's called mourning. So we'll talk tomorrow about some significant things for you to know. And join us for our symposium.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their lives. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver, and you are listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of Hope for the Heart, and we just want to thank you for your prayers and your continued support of this ministry. It means so much to us. If you have questions or concerns about the topic of grief, we have several resources for you, actually. The Keys for Living called Living at Peace with Loss. That's grief, living at peace with loss. And customer support can access that for you and get it in your hands. The number is 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and would love to hear from you. You can also email them at customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Now, for the event that June was talking about, it is coming up Wednesday, June 16th from 7 to 9 p.m., and it is called Grief and Loss, coping day to day in our COVID world. It is, of course, how we can all encounter grief in this broken world, and there's so many ways that that can come, as June was just expressing very well. It can happen in any station of life, any stage of life you might be in. So we just want to help address those things and help you make sense of sorrow, the grieving process, and even the effects of grief, and walk through the stages of grief there. So it is, you may notice, I've not said where the event is yet. That's because it's wherever you are, really. It's online. It's a live-streamed symposium, again, 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time, and you can access that at hopefortheheart.org/events. You register there, and then you await further details. Again, hopefortheheart.org/events coming up Wednesday, June 16th, for that symposium. Well, we want to welcome back to the program for tonight, calling from California, listening to KKLA. It's, again, we have Amber.
Well, sweet Amber, we talked twice, and the 28-year-old Amber, unless you've had a birthday, you've gone through the pain of rejection. And it's hard, you know. Some people have a lot of support with their family. They call it family of origin. And others don't. And it can be very unsettling. And you were candid with me about a number of things that had taken place. And I want to know, and we talked about and forgiveness and how do you forgive, and we talked about your oldest brother, and you have a passel of brothers. You have a whole bucket full, don't you?
Yeah.
And yet, wow, you know, and with different, I'll say, not all the same parents, meaning
it's
really a big mixed bag, and then there's resentment for you, toward you, because you were daddy's little girl, mm-hmm. And they're, you know, that's the story of Joseph to a degree in the Bible, so did you ever get our material that we sent you on forgiveness?
Yes, I received the material on forgiveness, and it was really through looking through the freedom to let go, that allowed me to want to touch on the topic tonight of myself, of forgiving myself.
Okay. Well, I know you have specifics of what you wanted to talk about, so tell me, you're calling about what? And I want to know first, right now, how are you doing compared to when you first called? It was really at the beginning of the month of June.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm a lot more tender-hearted. I've always been an analytical person, mm-hmm. self-analytical, maybe even to a fault. But I felt very tender going over the forgiveness book that you sent through the mail, and I cried.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, being an analytical person myself, does that mean you liked math or did not like math?
Oh, I like it, and then it helped mm-hmm. out with the music, too.
Yeah, of course. I know you're a musician, so... and math is often related to music, and so that's pretty well known. But the point is, God gave you a mind. God gave you a brain. And we are to try to figure out at times, what's the connector? What do we do when there is cause and effect? And we've got to figure out, wait a minute, am I causing something that I'm not even tuned into for this person to react, or is, I mean, that doesn't mean, I think it's wrong to just make an assumption. Oh, if somebody's reacting toward us or being, you know, demeaning, et cetera, that we've caused it. No, that's not true. I don't believe that at all. I just, but it helps us so much when we are, when we can be analytical, and yet what I'm hearing is, it seemed a little surprising to you that you, it's like there are emotions that you've gotten in touch with, and you're, you've even to the point of tears. Is that right?
Right. What really touched me was the scriptures that are provided, you know, and does it promote love to cover an offense? You know, that is referring mm-hmm. to Proverbs 17:9. Whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. And it could be close friends or it could be siblings.
Mm-hmm.
So this
sure.
is my case. But there was a lot of offense growing up, and we touched that when we were in our last phone call. And
mm-hmm.
And repeated offense and different varying levels of offense. So there was blame constantly being shuffled around the house, and reactions and responses to reactions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, it always helps to know certain things not to do that could be considered natural, but we are actually called, I'm going to say it, this is kind of unusual to say it this way, we are called to have supernatural, not natural responses, but we have, when we are true, authentic Christians, the Bible says it's Christ in you. And sweetheart, you have Christ in you. And what does he do in you? Is he literally a source of supernatural strength? Is Jesus? Yes. So not only does he give us, it's called a peace that passes all understanding. That means peace in the midst of turmoil, peace in the midst of pain. So it's not that everything goes wonderful. But the point is, we don't have to be controlled by what others do against us. We can have a, from that standpoint, a supernatural response. It's not natural, and it's empowered by Christ himself. Does that make sense?
Yes, there was an example more towards the end of the book, and I had to go to different parts of it. I didn't get a chance to read the whole thing, but I did read the story of the woman who had to forgive this man whom she knew in her youth, and when she made that decision, she didn't have the power to do it. Mm-hmm. The supernatural power of Christ living in her gave her the authority to overcome, and she mm-hmm. felt it. She felt the love for this man when she made the decision to forgive and to act on that forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, you're absorbing what the Lord wants you to absorb, and it's usually through pain. I just find that God at times allows us to have pain for a purpose. With a purpose, and there are going to be things you'll not want to experience, but you will experience, and it'll tenderize your heart to others who likewise will have that same kind of pain. It gives you empathy, not just sympathy, empathy for others. So you said there was something that you wanted to talk about this evening in particular.
Yes.
As a result. Okay.
Yes.
What is that?
The decision-making that comes when you want to use wisdom. Having been very analytical of my own stuff and behavior and desiring to follow Christ, I've exposed myself to situations where I wanted to forgive someone, but I also exposed myself to situations where I thought that in forgiving them, I also had to, you know, find myself in situations with persons, you know, physically being in their presence or doing favors for people that were really an overextension of my own self, and finding myself being grieved, being hurt again by that same person, or finding myself in new situations where I was experiencing deeper levels of exposure of pain that was unnecessary.
Okay, what I'm going to want you to do, I want you to detail the scenario, and let's look at it and see, you know, because there are people who will say, if I am around this person, based on the past, it will not go well. And, or if I need to confront a situation and speak of it, it could cause a blow up. You know, there are things with, so I'm going to mention something that, while we have just a, since we don't have a lot of time for this till our break, but like if you know someone is not a safe person, I detail in our topic of confrontation the different ways of confrontation. In other words, there's the face-to-face, there is, which is the most vulnerable, there is by phone, and there are advantages, by the way, for all of these, and disadvantages, and then there is the letter. Now, the problem with the letter is there's not any opportunity right there for follow-up. It can be misunderstood. I'm not a fan of letters all by themselves, or just really having to talk about it. But what you are talking about is this other person or several others, and it's hard.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org. Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. Well, if you have questions about any of the topics that we raise here on the program, we'd like you to get in touch with us and see what resources you might order for yourself, or maybe as you help others through a particular situation in their life. Customer support will be able to help you with that, and that's 800-488-HOPE is how to reach them. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and can help guide you to God's hope through our resources. The information I'd like to share with you are keys for living called confrontation, challenging others to change. There's also decision-making, discerning the will of God. And as June was talking about, forgiveness with tonight's caller, releasing you is freeing me. That's called forgiveness. Releasing you is freeing me. Again, customer support can be reached at 800-488-4673. If there's something on your heart and mind that you'd like to speak with June about on a specific situation going on, and do that on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT. The number's 17. Just call and leave a message so we can get right back to you and schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. That's 800-NIGHT-17 or 800-644-4817. Let's return to our conversation now with Amber.
And by the way, Amber, I know you and I together, we detailed many specifics of, it's like a particular brother and then a youngest brother and another brother and another brother. So but to literally release them, release the pain to the Lord and release them to the Lord. Now, can you tell me how you felt about that? We didn't get through your whole inventory, and we can do that, but I just want to know, what about those individuals?
Yes. You know, at the time of just sharing what it was that I had gone through, It's one thing to like write it down and think about it, but when you talk out loud and you really, you know, speak to a thing and you say like, oh, I am hurt by this, or there is depth to this pain, and I feel it tangibly now that I'm exposing it, and then to say after exposing it, I forgive you, or I forgive my brother, even if he doesn't know about it. Because, you know, my brother that passed away, I'll never tell him I forgive you for this or that. But it frees me to look back at those times and have a tender-hearted view of him before he knew Christ, or him, you know, before he passed away.
Yes. So you're saying that this seemed to have helped with those individuals, each of those brothers. Is that correct?
Yes, to say out loud that I forgive them, and to know that the Lord is helping free me. I had an encounter last week with one of the brothers that I mentioned, and I did not feel the expectation for him to meet my need. Was the repetitive action there? Was I yearning and hoping that he would interact with me in a certain way? It was, but it was easier for me to feel at ease when I left that space and that conversation. No, he didn't owe me, and I didn't owe him an interaction.
That's why it is freeing. It's the freedom of forgiveness, where the other person may not change at all. I believe the forgiveness is what we are called to do, and it frees us. And are you wanting, by the way, for us to do other individuals like we did those four brothers?
Yes, I think that's healthy.
Okay. So let me get your question now, and then we can turn the corner and continue on with the people that you know it's been a challenge to forgive. So I asked you to describe this scenario so I can imagine it with you.
One such scenario I find has been with, I was trying to decide between a family member and a not family member. But a not family member scenario I found myself in was a female relationship, a friendship that I had developed. I repetitively found myself always correcting her and putting my two cents in on how she ought to do this or that. And then I kind of stopped that a little bit, but we kept having conversations where I felt wrung to tears, and eventually my mother asked me to stop speaking with her. At the time, I was living with my mom. This is not so long ago. And she said, just please stop talking to her for a week because I can't bear to see you in tears anymore. I'm getting angry, and my mother never gets angry. I'm getting angry, and I need you to stop talking to her for 7 days, and you tell me how you feel. And I ended the friendship after 7 days.
In retrospect, would you say she was actually a true friend, or not really?
In that respect, I felt that as much as we wanted friendship, we were not supportive of one another in healthy ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt would be necessary for us to continue in friendship, I spoke to her and asked, I told her if she would like to have conversations with me, I want to talk with a counselor. The next time that we speak, I don't want to speak with her by myself. I don't feel comfortable speaking without a counselor.
Okay.
She agreed, but then we never had that counseling time because of the way that she wanted it done. So, no, I think that if that friendship were worth pursuing, it would have been pursued.
Well, understanding about friendship, it's not just being around another person that where you may like some of their qualities. That's important to be around people that you are drawn to for the right reason. But when you consider really what friendship is, of course, I love the scripture, as iron sharpens iron, so one sharpens another. But we are to be bettered. A friend is a person where you're united together by feelings of affection, loyal support, the joy of time spent together. It's not a mission. It's not like you're looking at this person, well, I need to fix that person. A friend is a person you're bettered because of that person in your life. And I remember one time saying to a person that who would just, for some reason, she would just blow up at me. And I said, Why do you blow up at me? You don't do this with your family. You don't do it with your other friends. And she said, I don't know. I don't know. And so we had to do a boundary. It was very interesting because she was incredibly helpful in ministry for certain things. But for people could not understand why she would treat me a certain way. And while she said she didn't know, part of it was that I allowed it. You know, and I didn't know that. I just didn't understand that part of it. And one day she said, you know, if you had told me that, you know, if I had had a boundary, instead of just letting her do whatever she wanted toward me, I didn't know how. I thought I was being loyal just by, it doesn't matter how she treats me, I'll just be loyal. But it does matter, because I said, would you say that God would say we have a positive, healthy friendship? And she said, no. And so it was, and so we had to talk through what it would look like. And you know, a lot of times, if I'd known to do that a long time ago, I would have done it, but I didn't. But I do know that not everyone who we would call a friend is actually a friend for many people. And you're not called to have friendship with every single person on earth. And there are people that you can minister to and be helpful to. Many times our help, listen to this, our help is not helpful. Right?
I've experienced that.
Yeah. We think it is. We think we're being helpful. But if it's not the right dynamic, you can do everything. You can knock yourself out. You can just do whatever. And you can be correct about what you're saying. But your help is not helpful if you're the one who's constantly giving and there's not a reciprocal sharpening with one another. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think in that particular relationship I can see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And the other situation, you said that was a family situation?
Yes. I've experienced with, I have an elder sister, I mentioned.
Yes.
Seven brothers and two sisters, and the sisters are on either side of, you know, at least a 10-year gap between each of us. But in my experience with getting advice from my eldest sister and my father, who is her father as well, I just felt really overwhelmed, and I mistrusted giving my situations to them because I would have to face their advice.
Ah, okay. Okay. Well, I tell you what. What we'll do is we're going to talk about, I want you to mention the name of several people that you wish, but one name, and then what was so difficult, what was so painful about that relationship that's been hard for you to forgive. But I have my pen ready to go. I'm delighted to talk with you again, and I'm proud of you because you do want healthy, wonderful relationships.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer.
Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
Listening to Hope in the Night. We are a ministry of hope for the heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. And we exist because of your ongoing prayers and continued support of this ministry. And we just want to thank you for that. You may be thinking, how do we support this ministry? Well, if that is on your heart and you feel led to do so, we would invite you certainly to go to hopefortheheart.org. It's easy on your phone or your computer there to just visit the website, hopefortheheart.org, and you'll find the donate button on the homepage there. We are listener-supported broadcast, and we cannot do this ministry work without your support. So we would thank you so much for that, and we just look to make an eternal difference with your support. So we thank you so much for considering that and ask that you would bless it forward if you've been blessed by this ministry. Well, if you have questions about this topic tonight or any number of topics, we have over 100 keys for living that will help you address it. We're talking about forgiveness this evening. We have keys for living called Forgiveness Releasing You is Freeing Me. And our customer support team is available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They can help you access those resources for yourself or for others. And that number, again, 800-488-4673. We also invite you to check out our website, hopefortheheart.org/store. You can find new updated Keys for Living, Lifeline to Hope online training, as well as June's biblical resources there and music CDs as well, and it's all at hopefortheheart.org/store. Let's return to our talk now with Amber.
All right, Amber. I am ready to write what you would want to share in terms of those who have hurt you deeply, and yet you don't want to be a prisoner of the past. So
right.
We've talked with about four different brothers. Mm-hmm. Do you want to deal with either one of your sisters, or do you want to keep going with the brothers or your parents?
We'll touch my brothers. If we can get through three, that's awesome. If not, you know, I believe that there's still more healing to do.
Okay. All right. I'm ready to go.
Well, we touched my mother's three eldest sons,
mm-hmm.
and we touched the youngest. And so going back upward from the youngest, the next one immediately older than him, and I had said the youngest dealt with bullying because he was the youngest boy.
Mm-hmm.
But the relationship that I had with the one immediately older than him was one that I hoped I would see a lot more gratitude from him, because he was the son that there was a lot of effort and hope and encouragement, and he reminded me of myself, curious about everything, wanting to know everything, and having a standard of excellence in what he put himself into, even being desiring of learning how to play the guitar like myself.
Mm.
He taught himself pretty well.
Mm. So you saw some real future in terms of just initiative and So what happened? So what has caused the pain in your heart with him?
I think the measure of pride and sort of, I mentioned, like, and I expected there to be a level of gratefulness, you know, for the investment. Mm. I felt personally slighted, you know, over, like, why do you feel entitled, you know, to do this or take advantage of this or ask for this and not, you know, return it right. And he reminded me much of myself. I think that I felt levels of disappointment through him feeling like he needed to meet a certain standard. If I could expose that I felt he needed to meet a standard of behavior because he was the golden child. We actually refer to him as the golden child.
Mm. Did he take advantage of that position of being looked at in that positive way? How did he hurt you?
He hurt me, I would say, probably one of the least of my brothers, but in the way that he was dismissive. He took what he needed and went his way.
Got it. Yeah. Okay, I get it. So lack of gratitude, entitled, the pride, that's part of the pridefulness, and there were personal slights, and just dismissing you.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay, the next brother.
Well, the next one is also next up on the list, the one immediately younger than myself and older than the one I just mentioned.
Okay.
Now, of all my brothers, I'm extremely proud of him. And I think I carry that sort of feeling for all of my siblings. They are all uniquely, so cool. Mm. I have an extreme love and affinity for all of my brothers. And the one immediately younger than me stood up for me many times, spoke up on my behalf many times, is an intercessor, and is very self-propelling, self-taught. Of all my siblings, I think I feel the least slighted by this brother, but I wonder if I kind of heroicize him because I wanted so much to, like, feel like we did everything. I felt like we should have done everything together. We were the closest in age, and the desire that I had to, like, see him grow up and get better. He followed me into a couple of jobs, and he just excelled. And he continues to excel at what he does. But there was, like, I think, a rejection of Christ in a way that really showed the power of Christ. Like, I don't really feel personally slighted by this brother so much as feeling that, you know, it cannot be done without Christ.
Hmm. Okay.
It cannot be done without Christ.
Yeah. Wanting so much for that relationship, yet, you know, if you're not equally yoked in that way, you can't force that. You can't force a commonality, and yet you wanted so much for there to be more of the Christ-likeness. That's the bond part.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, the next brother, the third one we've got to talk about.
That is my oldest brother. My father's first son is very much like my father in his mannerisms and even in the lifestyle of what's happened in his life. This brother, I felt, you know, coaxed my father out of sobriety a few times, but I can't blame my brother for that. I know that logically. But at the same time, you know, I saw this brother hurt a lot of women. I saw this brother hurt his children. I saw this brother receive the mercy of God, and I became so angry because this brother was one of my few siblings that represent Christ in action, like in proclaimed faith, and it was hypocrisy after hypocrisy. And I can look at myself and say that in certain instances, but I would just get so mad that this brother would call himself a Christian.
I get it. Okay. Let's take these three before the Lord. And I'm going to voice for you to have that prayer like you did before. And let's just do business with God with each of them, okay?
Okay.
Heavenly Father, as we talk together, bring to mind and sensitize Amber's heart right now. All right, Amber, pray with me. Father, you know the pain I have felt in regard to all three of these brothers.
Father, you know the pain that I have felt in regard to these three brothers.
In regard to a brother who has such a lack of gratitude.
In regard to a brother that has a lack of gratitude.
Sense of entitlement and pridefulness. It wounds my spirit. And I yield even to you in your hands the personal slights that he enacted toward me.
And I yield to you even the personal slights that
He displayed
towards me.
Yeah. And his dismissiveness. As an act of my will, I choose to forgive him.
As an act of my will, Lord, I choose to forgive their brother.
I take him off of my emotional hook and put him onto your hook.
I put him off of my emotional hook and put him onto your hook.
And the other two brothers, how much I, especially the last one, it hurts me about his hypocrisy.
And the other two brothers, I choose to forgive even the other who hurts me through hypocrisy.
Hurting women and children. Lord, I know that hurts you. But as an act of my will, I choose to take him off of my hook. And put him onto your hook.
Father.
He needs you. He needs a changed life.
He needs you and a changed life.
Lord, I pray for all of these that we've talked about, that they would have a changed life through Christ.
Lord, I pray for the changed life in Christ.
And thank you that I don't need to be a prisoner of the past.
Thank you that I don't need to be a prisoner of the past.
Or of them.
Or of them.
In your name we pray. Amen.
We will send resources to tonight's caller. We do that free of charge because of your generous support of this ministry. And we do appreciate that and your participation in that. We'll recommend to you tonight the keys for living called Confrontation, Challenging Others to Change, and also Forgiveness, Releasing You is Freeing Me. Now, customer support is available to you anytime Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and would welcome your call at 800-488-HOPE. And our materials and past programs are available as well at hopefortheheart.org. Also, check out the broadcast app. It is called Hope for the Heart, and that's a free download. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.